Welcome to Heartbeat, the podcast of the Heart Women's Ministry. Heart is a Catholic women's ministry whose vision is to encourage women in their faith, in their life, and in who God's created them to be. This is a place where you'll hear from some amazing women share from their heart to your heart about who God is, what God's doing in their life, and how they're doing their very best to live out their faith. We pray that you are blessed and inspired. Enjoy Heartbeat. Hello and welcome to Heart, the podcast of the Heart Catholic Women's Ministry. My name is Emma and we are here today with Michaela. How are you going, Michaela?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you going?
Yeah, really, really good. Now, our podcast, it's exciting, our first podcast. We are here to encourage women in their faith and how they live that out in their life. Michaela and I, we're passionate about being people who use our faith for the everyday. But we know that sometimes that can be really hard to take what we hear on Sunday, take what we hear from other people sharing about their faith, and how do we use that in our lives? That can be really tricky. So that's what we're here to do, and that's what we hope you who's listening out there today, we hope that you get something from that for your life. Now, every week we're going to review the Weekly Heartbeat. And the Weekly Heartbeat is a video series that's released online from our website, heart.thecatholicguide.com, and it's put out by Rosemary Downs, who's the leader of our ministry. She's the visionary who just really has a passion for women and to encourage them in their faith. So we're going to have a look at that every week. We're going to discuss other things that come into our life and what's happening, what we think God's speaking to us. We're just going to see where it goes, and we just hope that God does something in you. Now, the first Weekly Heartbeat that just came out, Rosemary talked about how we can fit faith into our life. And that's certainly something that we're passionate about. How about you, Michaela?
Definitely, definitely. And it can be something quite tricky. So I think having a place to talk about it is a really good place to start.
Definitely. I found when Rosemary was sharing, she talked about how when we watch the weekly heartbeats, or even if we're just listening to them, it's something that we can do while we're doing the dishes, while maybe you're getting kids ready for school in the morning. You probably have to turn up a bit louder if that's happening. But yeah, it's something that we can do while we're doing other things, because I find often, for me, I have to try and fit it into my life.
Yeah.
And that almost sounds like it's an addition, and it is, but I also want it to be part of my life. But I think there's, you need to put effort. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah, I find, Michaela, that I have to try and be intentional in fitting it into my life, because otherwise it kind of just doesn't happen, you know? And I want it to happen, but if I don't put those things into my life to make it happen, then it just doesn't.
Isn't it so crazy that you can go into a day thinking like, oh yeah, this day is for God, like I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to do whatever, and you get to the end of the day and you realize you haven't done it and you're still not tempted to do it at all.
Yep.
But you still want to, like you still have this desire, but you just don't really feel like following it through.
Yep, yep. I totally understand, especially at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that beginning of the Weekly Heartbeat, that's what I quite liked. How Rosemary was just saying, you know, put it into your week how it fits. Mm-hmm. And God knows that we're putting in effort. We're trying our best to live for Him. And often I do it while I'm washing the dishes, and I'll have like a video, my phone up on the window ledge, and I'll just be doing the dishes while I do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do it while I'm vacuuming, but I find that quite tricky because then you have to turn it up really, really loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I just try and fit. I mean, there are obviously two cleaning examples. I'm sure there's much more exciting examples than that. But that just seems to be what I tend to do. The next thing that Rosemary went on to talk about this week was a quote from St. Padre Pio.
Mm-hmm.
The quote was, "A single act of love to God made during a period of aridity is worth more than 100 made with affection and consolation." Now, my first thought when I heard that quote was, what does aridity mean? But fortunately, Rosemary shared it with us. It means a time of just being dry, when you're just feeling a bit, I suppose, blah in your faith or just in life in general.
Yeah, I actually looked up the meaning after she spoke about it. And the first meaning, there's two different meanings that it gave, but the first meaning was it having little to no rain. It's too dry or too barren to even support vegetation.
Yeah, okay, yep.
So no growth.
No growth, yep.
That's what I got out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I've only heard of Padre Pio actually in the last few years, But wow, he did some amazing stuff when I've looked him up online. And I think he died in like 1960 or something like that. And even though I wasn't born then, it still feels like quite close. Like there's a saint who, you know, wasn't in my lifetime, but
almost,
you know,
a modern day saint.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty cool.
That's very encouraging.
When Rosemary shared this particular quote, I found it quite challenging because I think, as we'd all know in life, when you feel dry, when you don't feel like, let's say, living out your faith, it's just so hard, like, to do when you're feeling dry. But the quote saying that God sees that and it's worth more than all the times when you are feeling good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like when I'm in a season of dryness, oftentimes I'm waiting on a big moment where God, like, kind of opens up the heavens and is like, hey, I'm here, it's okay, you don't need to feel like dry. But oftentimes it actually comes down to the small opportunities I've found.
Yep.
And it really, in those seasons, recognizing those opportunities and making the choice, the hard choice, to actually follow through is like the challenge of aridity. And if we're talking about aridity as like a seasonal thing, so like summer, dry and arid, we're waiting for, you know, winter, not winter,
spring,
autumn.
Yep,
fall,
yep.
When the rain will come and we'll be able to flourish and grow again. When we're waiting for the rain to come again, oftentimes, it's that opportunity that we're waiting on. It can actually be a lot smaller than we're thinking. And then by following through with that choice, God actually gives us a little bit of that rain to grow, even if it's 10%. To continue through,
It's just really about being faithful, I think. And really, our faith is a commitment that we make every day. Wake up, make it again, wake up the next day, make it again. And it's not even making it that commitment at the beginning of the day. It's doing it throughout the day when things are challenging. And I think that God really sees when we make that choice to keep going through those really tough times. God sees our heart for him and that we're wanting him in our lives when we make those choices.
I think one of the awesome things that God kind of tells us in these seasons is that faithfulness can be a lot more ordinary than we expect. It's still a miracle that we're able to make that choice, but it doesn't necessarily have to be something grand. That's really special.
I think so too. So Rosemary continues and she talks about what is a single act of love to God. She talks about, like, the first part of the quote is, a single act of love to God made during a period of aridity is worth more than 100 made with affection and consolation. So it makes me think, so what is that single act of love? I thought it's something like you were saying before, like as simple as serving others, sharing love to others. Sometimes I think it's as simple as just doing the daily grind, which is waking up, going to work. If you've got children, looking after your children, or if you've got a husband or a partner, you know, you're looking after them, your parents maybe, like doing the things that you've committed to in your life. I think that can be your act of love.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. I think when God gives us a purpose or a call, and sometimes that is as, you know, as everyday as parenting, being a good wife, being a good friend, interacting well with your coworkers, respecting and honoring your boss, all sorts of things like that. Those are things that God is giving us the opportunity to do well.
Yeah.
And when we do them well, we're actually serving God through that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, today, if you've got a single act of love to God that you've got on your mind, then you can share that with us. You can email to us a story of yours, heart@thecatholicguy.com, or you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram, Heart Ministry for Women. We would love to hear your stories and your examples of a single act of love to God, how through your life you're able to show love to others.
Definitely.
So we're trying to think of, Michaela and I, things that we can do practically. How can we in our life, when we feel dry, practically make those single acts of love, but also what can we do to keep going when sometimes we don't feel like it? And the first thing that I have is something just really simple, is just ask someone to encourage you. Just ask someone, a friend, your spouse, someone who you look up to in your life, just to say, hey, you know what, I'm not doing too well right now, could you give me a call, send me a text.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually part of several group chats on even Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
One in particular with some girls that I went to youth group with growing up. So we've known each other a long time. We can be very vulnerable with each other. And oftentimes there'll be 10 messages throughout the week from every different person saying, oh, I'm going through this, can you pray for me? Or, oh, like work was really hard today, can you just send me some encouragements to read on my lunch break? And I find that really helpful. So that's one of the things that I do.
Definitely, yeah. Another thing I thought of, which can be tricky, but is just, I suppose in your own mind, just make a commitment. When you're feeling dry, when things are tough, just choosing a point, just say, you know, on this date, nope, I'm making a commitment, God, to go again. I'm making a commitment to show love to others. I'm making a commitment, just a, you know, a mental bookmark almost of, no, I'm making a commitment and I'm choosing to go again, like making that choice.
Yeah. In my family, I'm known as someone who is, you know, pretty up in the clouds. I like to do a lot of introspective thinking and kind of daydreaming, but I'm not very good at practically kind of following through with things.
Yep.
So what I've actually done is I set 3 reminders on my phone throughout the day, and each one of them has a different kind of prayer challenge, I suppose, that really helps me to kind of follow through and remember, oh, this is something that I'm actually not going to idealistically like think about. It's something that I'm going to do. And so those 3 reminders are, one of them, the first one is to thank God for the current situation I'm in at the moment that my phone buzzes with that reminder. So that could be, you know, in a really good situation. Oftentimes it comes up and I'm kind of in a stressed mood or I'm feeling a bit frustrated. But the challenge is to thank God for that moment, even when it's a tough moment. It reminds me to think of the purpose that God has given me in the good times and the bad. The next one is to pray for someone who's come to mind throughout the day. That often comes up.
That's a good one.
Reminder around lunchtime.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think most of us will have someone, oh, we've been thinking about them a lot today. Mm. And what I've found is oftentimes that's the Holy Spirit reminding me that this person might need my prayers, or this person might need me to offer up their intentions.
Definitely.
Or even if they don't, like God might need to speak to them in a particular way throughout the day, and I might be, you know, a prayer away from helping that happen. Mm. And the third reminder I have kind of bings when I'm getting in the car going home from work. At my old job, I would catch an hour long bus ride or a train ride, and so it would buzz, and it reminds me to talk out the steps of my day with God. So, oh God, my day started off like this, and this frustrating thing happened, but this really nice thing happened, kind of inviting him into my life a little bit more and really practicing the act of surrender.
Yeah.
So those are 3 things that I kind of do that solidifies that commitment.
Yeah, yeah. And what I love about that is how practical they are. Like, you obviously have to make the effort to put them in your life, but then kind of, I suppose once they're there, like, it really is that prompt to recommit, to go again, to say the prayer.
Definitely. And the more you practice discipline, the more, like, easy it becomes as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Tough word, but you're right. Once you get it going, you can keep it going. The other things I was thinking of, like, when times when it's really tough and dry, is prayer. Just real simple, which I think is extremely hard in those dry times. Like, I know last year I had a few months of just praying every day, sitting down with my prayer journal, trying to write out my prayers, but just feeling like I had nothing, like, and feeling like, God, where are you? But I think, which is what this whole, like, Padre Pio's quote is, just the act of sitting down, making that choice to do it every day, God saw what I desired, even if I didn't necessarily feel like it. Deep down, my desire was him. Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, I think oftentimes I'm still learning to kind of practice discipline in my life. And I think a lot of the time that's because I kind of put something in between me and prayer. So, for example, my husband and I just moved into a new house. We're decorating. It's all very exciting. And we're getting a chair that we're calling our prayer chair to put in the guest room so we can have quiet prayer time and kind of not be distracted by the other things going on in the house.
Yep.
But oftentimes I'm like, oh, I really think I should pray, but I might wait until my prayer chair comes.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't need my prayer chair to pray. Yeah. Like, I can just do that in my everyday life. Mm. So oftentimes, like, I think that's something I really struggle with as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. And then other things were just real practical. Again, reading a book, listening to worship music. Mm-hmm. I know certainly words that someone's written either in a book or through music can be words that really on my heart are what I want to say, but I don't have the words to say it.
Yeah, for sure.
You can ask someone to pray for you, which is similar to when we were at the beginning saying, ask someone to encourage you. You can do that. Memorise a scripture or a phrase and kind of just repeat it over and over when you're feeling a bit dry. I find that's really good. And then once again, just really simply ask God to come and be with you today.
Yeah. And God's presence doesn't have to be this like giant booming voice from the clouds. Yeah. I think the older I get, the more I realise that.
It's not that.
Yeah. That oftentimes, like 99% of the time, God's presence is not incredibly like physically tangible or like this warm rush or whatever, but it's actually just, you know, simple things like joy and recognizing goodness and recognizing really positive, like beautiful things in people or even creation when you're driving around and the sky is really blue and clear. Like that can be the simple moment when you know that God is with you and he's there for you.
Yeah, definitely. So this week, why don't you write to us about some of your single acts of love and how maybe through hard times in your life when it's felt like you're feeling really dry in your faith, ways that you've been able to get through that and what commitments you might have made.
Worship song of the week.
So we're also going to do a segment in this Heartbeat podcast where we talk about worship songs that have spoken to us throughout the week. One in particular I thought I would mention this week is a song by Stephanie Gretzinger called No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. It's a really beautiful song. It has beautiful soft piano and her voice is just so tender when she speaks with lyrics about how in her life throughout every moment until she, from the moment that she was born until she's old and grey, she says, "When my days are numbered on the earth, that in him alone her joy was found. In Jesus alone, she was able to rely 100% on him and know that he would care for her, he would carry her, and he would bring her joy." I hope you enjoy this song this week, and let us know what you think of it.
So!
What? Okay, so this segment we like to call So What? And what does that mean? What we're going to do is we're going to look at a scripture each week. Just really, not too many verses, just a few verses. And we're going to ask the question, so what? So what does that scripture mean to me? How can I use that in my life? Because we want to be able to hear the word of God and be able to take that to live our lives out. And the verse that we're going to look at today is from Proverbs. It's in chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. And it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight." Now, I think this verse actually works really well with what we were talking earlier about Padre Pio and how times when it's really tough in our lives, how we need to make that choice and commitment to act out our faith, to love other people. And with this one, it's talking about how we can trust in God. And the second sentence, or really part of the first sentence, says, "Lean not on your own understanding." And at first I kind of thought, well, but doesn't God want us to use, you know, our understanding and what we can think about and our thoughts, because we're intelligent people, God would want us to use that. But really what that means is have faith, put your faith in him. So trust in God with all your heart and have faith. It's an encouragement. And the last two sentences say, "In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." In some other versions of the Bible, this was from the NIV version, which is the New International Version, some other versions say, "In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths." So it's really just saying in all situations of our day, ask God to come and be present and then trust in him that he will guide you. And an example I have is a few years ago, I was going to a meeting at a service provider of for people with disabilities, because I have a daughter who has a disability, and I was going to this information session. And it was at a place that I really wanted my daughter to be able to go to get a physio, to get a speech therapy, and her occupational therapy. But for some reason, we just couldn't get in. We were on the wait list. And I remember driving into the car park of this organization, sitting in the car park, and I just felt like I needed to say a prayer. So I just, in the car, by myself, no one's around, just said, God, I'm about to walk into this place. I really want Hannah to be here. But God, I know that you love Hannah more than I could ever love her, and I know how much I love her. God, if this is what you want for her, would you open a door? Would you show me? Amen. I left it at that. Then I got out of my car and I went into the meeting. And I think that's a practical way of trusting in God, in doing what this scripture says, which is taking an aspect of my life, giving it to God by just saying that simple prayer, trusting in Him, and then walking out of the car to do what we have to do, because God wants us to do what we need to do in our lives. And I walked into that meeting, and the lady who was running that meeting was the physiotherapist my daughter had 12 years ago when she was born in the hospital. And I felt like that was God opening the door. And from there we did. We got to that organization. It was amazing. And I think that's a practical way that we can take that verse and go, God, how can I apply it to my life? And I think that's the challenge that we have in our faith, to take that and go, God, what are you saying to me? And certainly for that, that's what God was doing for me at my time, at that time in my life.
Each week, we want to shed a spotlight on either a person, a book, a song, a story, any of those things that might bring a little bit more of God and a little bit more of a relationship with God into your life. And so this week, I thought I would talk about an amazing book that I recently read called The Air I Breathe, Worship as a Way of Life by Louis Giglio. Louis Giglio is an amazing preacher. He has some really profound stuff to say. And so I'm going to read you the blurb of this book. If you'd like to read it, go ahead and order. It's really, really beautiful, and it really touched the way that I interact with worship in my day-to-day life. Worship is more than singing on a Sunday morning. Well, that's part of it. Worship is the essence of what makes us truly human. God sparked this desire within our hearts from the day He first breathed life into Adam and Eve. Since then, every single human who has walked this planet has participated in this God-given ability and divine quest. While many have squandered their gift, there are those who find the wonder-filled life of communion with God, no matter the time or the place. True freedom comes when worship flows through us as naturally as the air we breathe, when the words and actions in our lives resonate with our Creator so deeply that every inhalation is full of meaning, when we understand the holiness of God, who knows the stars by name, and His overwhelming love for each one of us. How can we offer anything less? So I really hope you guys look into this book. It was really, really crucial in the way that I interact with God in the relationship with Him that I'm in now.
Jottings from my journal.
Every week on our website and through our emails, we send out a link to Rosemary's blog. Rosemary's blog's called Jottings from my journal. And it's a reflection that Rosemary gives every week about what God's doing in her life. And she writes this blog and she asks some questions at the end that you can reflect on. And so Rosemary's taken some of those jottings and she's spoken them out for us so that we can, through this, reflect on those. So we're just going to play one of those now. Here is Rosemary Downs.
The other day, I was waiting for the electricity to go back on, ever so impatiently. There was a huge blackout in so many suburbs. We were in the dark for 24 hours, and a scripture popped into my mind. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Am I impatient waiting for the Lord when I'm in the dark for 24 hours or longer in stuff in my life? Prayers unanswered. Decisions, undecided what to do. Do I impatiently wait for His answers, or am I patient waiting for His timing? The scripture does say, if we wait, we shall renew our strength. Waiting so often, though, appears to deplete our energy, our go get 'em, but that is because we only see it from a human point of view. Spiritually and humanly, we get renewed because waiting on the Lord means leaning into Him, leaning on Him, being dependent upon Him and not on myself. But that is not the whole scripture verse. It continues on after this, talking about renewal that is supposed to happen. It states, they shall soar as on eagle's wings to their God. We're going to soar. We're going to do better. We're going to do so well after this waiting time. This waiting time for man seems so constraining, but for God, when we give him that waiting time, can be made to be the best, most magnificent soaring time of all. We become closer to our God. We learn to trust in him more. We can only ever really do well when we have God with us. He has our best interests at heart. As it states in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope. Who doesn't want a future with hope? Who doesn't want a great future, great plans ahead of them? Well, God says, I have these great plans for you. I'm trying now not to be impatient while waiting and seeking God for my great future. Waiting, if I know that it means down the track I'm going to soar to highest heights than I've ever had before, waiting takes on a whole new dimension.
Awesome. Well, that's our podcast for this week. We want to give you a weekly challenge, don't we, Michaela?
Yes, we do.
That's right. We want to give a weekly challenge for you to think about, for you to try and act out in your life. And it's really simple. It's what we've been talking about this week. Maybe not simple, because that's what we've been talking about. But the weekly challenge this week is to think about, what is your single act of love? What's your single act of love to God through your life? How are you doing it? You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Heart Ministry for Women. Why don't you write to us, heart@thecatholicguy.com, or put it on our socials, and we would love to hear from you. Until then, we hope you have a great week, and we will see you all, or speak to you all, next week.
Bye.